ತಾಡಿತ ಸನ್ನಿಬದ್ಧೋವಾ ವೃತ್ಯಾವಾ ಪರಿಹಾಪಿತಃ. ಕ್ಷಿಪ್ತೋವಮಾಣಿತೋ ಸದ್ಭಿಃ ಪ್ರಲಬ್ಧೋ ಸೂಯಿತೋ ತವ ತಸ್ಸನ್ನಿರುದ್ಧೋ ವಾ ವೃತ್ಯಾ ವಾ ಪರಿಹಾಪಿತಃ. ಮಾತಾಜಿ, ಕ್ಷಿಪ್ತೋವಮಾಣಿತೋ ಸದ್ಭಿ ಪ್ರಲಬ್ಧೋ ಸೂಯಿತೋ ತವ ಸನ್ನಿರುದ್ಧೋ ವಾ ವೃತ್ಯಾ ವಾ ಪರಿಹಾಪಿತಃ. ಕ್ಷಿಪ್ತೋವಮಾಣಿತೋ ಸದ್ಭಿ ಪ್ರಲಬ್ಧೋ ಸೂಯಿತೋ ತವ ತಾಡಿತ ಸನ್ನಿರುದ್ಧೋ ವಾ ವೃತ್ಯಾ ವಾ ಪರಿಹಾಪಿತಃ. I'll read the next I'll read the word to word translation. Kshiptah, insulted, avamanitah, neglected, asadbihi, by bad men, pralabdah, ridiculed, asuyitah, envied, athava or else, ತಾಡಿತಃ ಚಾಸ್ಟೈಸ್ಡ್, ಸನ್ನಿರುದ್ಧಃ ಟೈಡ್ ಅಪ್, ವಾ ಆರ್ ವೃತ್ಯಾ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈವ್ಲಿಹುಡ್, ವಾ ಆರ್ ಪರಿಹಾಪಿತಃ ಡೆಪ್ರೈವ್ಡ್. I will read the next verse also and then the translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Nishtyuto mutrito vagnyair bahudaivam prakampitah shreyas kamakrichragata atmanatmana muddaret. Translation: even though neglected, insulted, ridiculed or envied by bad men, or even though repeatedly agitated by being beaten, tied up or deprived of one's occupation, spat upon or polluted with urine by ignorant people, one who desires the highest goal in life should, in spite of all these difficulties, use his intelligence to keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. Purport: throughout history, many of the above mentioned inconveniences have been experienced by the devotees of the Lord. One who is advanced in God consciousness does not allow himself to become obsessed with the material body even in such conditions, but rather keeps the mind fixed on the spiritual platform through proper intelligence. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಯ್ಯಂ తదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణా లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛా కల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యయేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాదార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో హరే రామో రామ రామో హరే హరే సో వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ఉద్ధవ గీత 11th కాంటు 22nd చాప్టర్ ఇట్స్ అ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ వర్డ్స్ టు స్పీక్ ఆన్ ఇన్ వన్ సెన్స్ ఎవరీ వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఇస్ డిఫికల్ట్ ఎస్పెషలీ వెన్ వీ రీడ్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ ఇట్ అపియర్స్ టూ ఐడియలిస్టిక్ యాక్చువల్లీ సో దిస్ వర్డ్స్ ఇస్ లైక్ ద సీడ్ వర్డ్స్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ Uddhava is going to ask a question in the next two verses and then Krishna will start describing the story of Avadhuta Brahmana or Avanti Brahmana, the song sung by the Avanti Brahmana in the next chapter. So this verse is like this verse impelled Uddhava to ask that question, explain Krishna further. And then Krishna narrates the story of the Avanti Brahmana, which will just start in one verse, two classes later, the story of Avanti Brahmana will start. So, we'll go through the verse once more. Try to carefully observe the words in the verse, because each of the words is actually, when you try to meditate upon the verse, each of the words in the verse, one will think like, how can a person, when a person is insulted and ridiculed in such abominable manner, how can a person actually tolerate those difficulties and not seek justice? So the verse says, Kshipto avamanito asadbi. క్షిప్తో అవమానితో అసద్భి ప్రలబ్ధో అసూయిత ఇతోవా. ఈవన్ దో వెన్ అ పర్సన్ ఇస్ నెగ్లెక్టెడ్ ఆర్ ఇన్సల్టెడ్ ఆర్ అసూయిత ఆర్ ఎన్వీడ్ ఈవన్ దో వెన్ అ పర్సన్ ఇస్ ఎన్వీడ్ బై అసద్భి బై బ్యాడ్ మెన్ అండ్ Pralabdha means ridiculed, even though a person is ridiculed by bad men. Or even though Tadita, even though a person is repeatedly being beaten by bad people. Sanni Ruddhova, or even though a person may be tied up by others. Or Sanni Baddhova, Vrityava parihapita. Even though a person is deprived of one's occupation, suddenly a person is given a pink slip. Oh, you have to leave the office. You are thrown out of the office suddenly. Vrityava parihapita. Even though a person is insulted and nishtuyita mutrito vagye. Even though a person, some people may spit upon the people, spit upon a devotee, nishtuyito mutrito vagye. Even though polluted by urine, by ignorant people, agnyai, by ignorant people, and then, so all these words are, even one of the insults is actually very difficult to tolerate. Many times somebody just says one thing or somebody doesn't look upon us, somebody neglects us or neglects to show some formal respect, and that actually goes deep into our heart. But each of these words is like a very strong disrespect, either mentally or verbally or physically. Nishtuyito mutrito vagyer, and then the last two lines describe what is the behavior of a person who is desiring the highest goal of life, even when he is actually mistreated in so many bad ways. Shreyas kama means one who is desiring the highest goal of life. What is the behavior of such a person when he is subjected to all these conditions? That means when people actually spit upon him, when people throw urine at him, or when people actually bind him, or suddenly deprive him of his occupation, or insult him, or beat him thoroughly. So what is the behavior of a person who is desiring the highest goal of life? Shreyas kama krichra gata atmanat mana uddaret. A person who is desiring the highest goal of life, krichra gata, although he is experiencing all these difficulties, such a person should actually deliver or should save himself by his spiritual intelligence. Uddaret means should save, or we can say should deliver himself. Krishna also says that uddaret atmanatmanam. One should control the mind with the intelligence. So similarly, atmanatmanam uddaret. A person who is desiring the highest goal of life should actually save himself on the spiritual platform by using his spiritual intelligence. Atmana, atmanam. Atmanat refers to his intelligence. Atmanam refers to should save himself, or should actually protect himself, or should deliver himself. Uddaret atmanam. Or should keep himself safe on the spiritual platform by using his spiritual intelligence. So this verse actually seems like, how can any person actually behave when he is subjected to all these difficulties? Naturally, Uddhava asks a question, and then Krishna is giving an example of a person who actually faced all these difficulties. Because sometimes, only when the theory is given, but then when there is no visible example, and then one will think that, oh, this is just a theory, there is not something to be practiced. So then Krishna narrates the story of the Avanti Brahmana, who actually underwent these difficulties and how he actually exhibited that behavior. Shreyas kama krichar gata atmanat mana muddarit. Krishna will describe in the next chapter, very profound chapter. So today, essentially this verse, the theme of this verse is that Because when a person goes through all these difficulties, natural response of any living entity or any conditioned soul is to seek justice or to take revenge, to do something in return, to question the other people. But this verse says that one should actually tolerate these difficulties. One should use one's intelligence to actually to keep oneself safe on the spiritual platform. So I will discuss on this theme of seeking justice and also toleration, tolerating the difficulties. How the actually scriptures deal with this topic in the various places in the Gita, Bhagavatam, Mahabharata. So I will begin with the story of the, we'll first try to discuss two stories from the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The 9th canto, 2nd chapter, there's a very small verse, very few verses, there's a story of a king called as Prishadra is described. So this Prishadra, this king, he followed the order of his guru, and he was engaged as a protector of the cows. So this king, he comes the dynasty of Ikshvaku. He comes the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu, if I remember. Anyway, this Prishadra, following the order of this guru, he actually did not get married. He dedicated himself for protecting cows. So he would do that. He would stand all day night with a sword, and with a great attention he would try to protect the cows, because there was danger of some wild animals attacking the cows. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, we can just imagine the importance of cow protection. Previously there were some Kshatriyas, they would just dedicate their life just for cow protection. Although he was a Kshatriya, he didn't become the king, and he just dedicated his life just for protecting the cows. He didn't even get married. So he tells, this is how the cow protection was given importance. Tomorrow is also Gopashtami, so I'll discuss, I'll mention few points related to cow protection. When Krishna subdued Kaliya, after subduing Kaliya, Krishna spoke to Kaliya. He said that, although I have afflicted you, please do not find fault with me. For the good of the cows, which are worthy of respect even by the devatas. For the benefit of the cows, who are worthy of respect even by the devatas, in order to protect those cows, I had to actually subdue you. I had to chastise you. So for the benefit of the cows, you please stay far away from this place, because cows come here to drink the water in this particular lake. So here, Krishna is telling that the cows are worshipable even for the devatas. That means that personality like Indra, who performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajna to occupy the position of Indra, even for him, cows are worshipable. And that personality, Brahma, who gets that post after observing Varnashram Dharma for 100 lifetimes perfectly, even for him, cows are worshipable. So this is what Krishna is telling to the cow. Krishna tells about the importance of cow protection. And if we see in the Vedic culture, the importance of cow protection is not only spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, it is also recognized even by some of the greatest demons in the Shastra. In the Ramayana Yuddha Kanda, this is actually spoken by Ravana himself. So Ravana says that that vidyate sheshu goshu sampannam. He says that there is wealth in the cows. I mean, there is prosperity in the cows. And then, of course, further other points he mentions in the verse, like there is fear for kinsmen, there is austerity in the brahmanas. But the point here is that even Ravana actually understands the importance of the cows, that there is wealth in the cows. So therefore, Prabhupada mentions in the light of Bhagavata, the killing of the cows by human society is one of the grossest suicidal policies. And those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit, like nowadays there is talk about being human. But Prabhupada says that those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first towards the question of cow protection. So here, this king Prishadra dedicated himself for cow protection. There is a saying which comes in, I read in some book related to cow protection. There was a Chandala woman. She was cooking a dog flesh in a bowl made of a human skull. And she was actually covering that bowl with a crow skin. So one person asked, "You are not cooking some highest delicacy, you are cooking something abominable, dog flesh, and that too in a human skull, and you are covering that part. So you are already doing abominable things, so why are you actually covering it?" She said, "I heard that just nearby, a person who has taken away the Gocharan Bhumi, one who has actually usurped the Gocharan Bhumi, he is roaming around. If his eyes fall on this dish, it will become contaminated. So therefore, I am actually covering." So that means, like what this anecdote says is that, that a person who has actually taken away the Gocharan Bhumi, or a person who is actually against cow protection, like he is committing such a great sin that he can further contaminate in something which is already abominable. So that is how the importance of actually cow protection is given. So this one day, Prishadra, when he was guarding the cows, one night a tiger entered the cow shed. So upon when the, actually it was a night time, and there was no moon also, it was very dark. But some of the cows could actually see the tiger. By seeing the tiger, all the cows which were lying down, they got up in fear and they started actually moving here and there. And then, so Prishadra immediately heard that, and then Prishadra with his sword, he actually cut, thinking that particular animal to be the tiger, he tried to attack the tiger. Because the cows actually started screaming, thinking the cows are in danger, he tried to attack the tiger with a sword. But what actually happened was that instead of attacking the tiger, his sword actually attacked up one particular cow. And the edge of the sword, it cut off the ear of the tiger. And the tiger, because its ear was actually pierced, and the cow, tiger immediately it ran from that particular place. And then the next morning, because it was a night time, like Prishadra thought that he actually killed the tiger. But in the morning he realized that actually he had killed the cow. He realized that he had actually killed the cow. So he felt very bad. And so at that time, So actually Prishadra committed the sin unknowingly. But when his guru Vasishtha came to know that Prishadra had killed the cow, that Vasishtha immediately cursed him that you shall not be able to become even a fallen Kshatriya. Rather, you will take birth as a Shudra in the next life for this abominable act of killing a cow. Actually, if he, Vasishtha did not try to think deeply, this person, he had actually dedicated his life for cow protection for many years. He didn't become the king, he didn't even get married, he dedicated his life for cow protection. He should have at least thought that for a person who has dedicated his life for cow protection, how could he have killed the cow? When you see the consistent behavior in the past for many years, and suddenly he has killed a cow, so maybe I should examine further. I should inquire further. Without actually trying to inquire further, he immediately cursed him, you will become a Shudra. Or he should have actually given some instruction to Prishadra on some instructions on atonement. Okay, you have killed a cow unknowingly, at least you perform the prayaschitta. So before giving the atonement, without giving the atonement, he directly cursed him. The Prabhupada says that, why is it that Vasishtha punished him so severely? In the Mahabharata it is said that one of the symptoms of the lust is that, or kama, is punishing a person more than that is required. So here Vasishtha is punishing Prishadra more than that is required. Without actually giving some instructions on atonement. The reason was that Vasishtha, although he was in the position, he was a Brahmana, he was in the position of the Guru of Prishadra, his mind was contaminated with ignorance. Because he had acted as a priest, and in the course of performing the priestly duties, many times he would take dakshina from people who are actually sinful. And because of that money, his intelligence also got contaminated. Therefore, he over-punished Prishadra. That's why it is said. So when we yearn the artha, if it is coming from the other means, it also actually pollutes our consciousness. So this Vasishtha's consciousness was polluted, therefore he over-punished Prishadra. So therefore, when we see the purpose of punishment, the purpose of punishment is to elevate a person, and the punishment should be in proportion to the mistake committed. If we give more punishment than which is required, it is a great sin. And if we give less punishment than that is required, if we give less punishment to a person, although he might have committed a greater grave sin, then that is also a mistake, because that will only encourage him to commit that mistake more, and then the common people will be actually affected by that. And therefore, giving punishment, one has to be highly mature. That is why whenever in the Shastra, for example, Parishit Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, when their intelligence is glorified, it is mentioned that Parishit Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, they are intelligent like Yamaraj. Because Yamaraj is known for his fine intelligence in giving punishment just in proportion to the mistake of the person, in such a way to elevate that person. So one devotee asked His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, should I chastise or show mercy to devotees when a devotee commits a mistake? So Maharaj mentioned, you can do anything, but ultimately it should uplift the devotee. It should elevate the devotee. So that is the purpose of punishment. or even mercy. So we find here Vasishtha overpunished Prishadra. But what was the response of Prishadra, which we want to highlight in regards to the present verse? Prishadra, he accepted the curse with the folded hands. And he controlled his senses and he observed the vow of Brahmacharya. So there was a mistake on the part of the Guru, but because he had a devotion to his Guru, he did not say that, why did you uselessly curse me without reflecting first? He remained faithful to the Guru and he observed Brahmacharya and he took shelter of the Supreme Lord, he took shelter of the Bhakti Yoga, and eventually he transcended that curse. He attained perfection of his life. That's how the story ends. So like sometimes one may wonder that like when a particular authority has mistreated you, how do you deal with that authority? Sometimes one may wonder that. Like for example, you put a money in the bank and some robbers have robbed the bank. But like even we see, although the robbers may have robbed the bank, but when somebody, especially if it is a nationalized bank, I'm not many privatized bank, I'm not sure. But when the common people have put trust on that bank and then put money in that bank, now the government will do something to actually give the money in return. Because you have put the trust on the government, and even though that person or there was no improper security or somebody has some cashier has looted the money or something, but still because you have trusted the right authority, even that immediate authority, even if he had become corrupt or some robbers have robbed the bank, but still the government will ensure that you are rewarded for the trust you had actually invested in that bank. So similarly, sometimes even if that your immediate authority, if he becomes corrupt, but if you respect the position of that person, when you don't seek justice, although he might have committed a mistake, when you don't seek justice, that behavior will be noted by the Supreme Lord. So here Prishadra, with the folded hands, he accepted the curse. He did not question Vasishtha. Because Vasishtha was in the position of his Guru. In fact, the same point was mentioned by Lord Vishnu to the Jayan Vijay, the third canto. Lord Vishnu says that, suppose those people who respect the Brahmanas, even though the Brahmanas may have uttered some harsh words towards one, but if they continue to respect the Brahmanas, by that behavior, that person captures my heart. I become conquered with the behavior of such a person. So Jay and Vijay, when they were cursed by the four Kumaras, they did not actually seek justice. So Lord Vishnu was pleased with the behavior of Jay and Vijay. And the similar thing, Lord Vishnu also, Krishna says a similar verse at the end of the story of King Driga also. So the point is that, like, there is right and wrong on a relative sense and the right and wrong on an absolute sense. Like from our particular level of consciousness, the absolute sense of right or wrong is what will actually help us to love Krishna, come close to Krishna. So the right and wrong in the relative sense is something which is literally correct, but ultimately we have to apply the principle of anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. What is favorable for actually bringing me close to Krishna? So many times we have to focus on what is right and wrong in the absolute sense. So here Prishadra focused on the right and wrong in the absolute sense, and even though there is a mistake on the part of his guru, he actually accepted that curse with the folded hands. Like another example we see in the story of Prithu Maharaj and Indra. Indra was stealing the horse, Prithu Maharaj was performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yagya. Indra was coming in the dress of a sannyasi and he was stealing that horse again and again, repeatedly. Prithu Maharaj's son was going and bringing back the horse, but again Indra would come in another dress of a sannyasi and he steal that horse. Prithu Maharaj's son, because he saw that this person is in dress of a sannyasi, I shouldn't kill him, that he would just get back the horse, but he wouldn't punish that person. But then ultimately, Prithu Maharaj became angry, and then the Brahmanas and Prithu Maharaj, they were about to kill Indra by chanting some mantras and bringing Indra and put him into the sacrificial fire. At that time, Brahmaji comes and advises Prithu Maharaj to stop performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. He gives many reasons. He says that because of your stubbornness to perform the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, many people are getting inspiration to start many apasampradayas. Because many people are feeling that, if we also do many mistakes by taking the dress of a sannyasi, we will also not get punished. Because Indra is not getting punished for his mistakes in the dress of a sannyasi. So we will also not get punished. So many people are getting inspiration to start many apasampradayas, to do many mistakes in the dress of a sannyasi. Therefore, you stop performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. And moreover, what is the need of this Karmakanda Yajnas for you? You are an advanced devotee of the Lord. You have appeared to actually establish Dharma, but you are performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. It is only increasing, it is leading to the increase of Adharma. So here, if we see, the mistake is being committed by Indra, and Prithu did not commit any mistake, but Prithu actually... Prithu could have questioned Brahma, why are you not chastising Indra? Why are you actually correcting me? After all, I am performing a good religious activity, but Indra is the one who is committing the mistake. But Prithu Maharaj did not question Brahma, rather he actually accepted the advice of Brahma. And not only he accepted the advice of Brahma, He stopped performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, but Prithu Maharaj, he forgave Indra. He didn't even maintain any grudge towards Indra. And not only that, Prithu Maharaj developed a friendship with Indra. He forgave Indra, he developed a friendship with Indra. Actually, Indra was senior to Prithu Maharaj. So generally, in a family also, when there is a quarrel between an elder brother and a younger brother, when a younger brother is doing some mistake, the parents expect the elder brother to accommodate the younger brother. They expect the elder brother to forgive the younger brother. You are elder, so you be more accommodative, you forgive that person. But here, Prithu Maharaj, although he was younger compared to Indra, but by his behavior, he acted like an elder brother. In that way, actually, because he forgave Indra and he developed a friendship with Indra. So Prithu Maharaj did not focus on what is right and wrong in a relative sense. Rather, he focused on the right and wrong in the absolute sense. So this is another example. And then we see... another example, again the ninth story, another example, again in the ninth canto. This story comes in the ninth canto, ninth chapter. There is a story of Saudas. He comes in the dynasty of Ikshvaku Maharaj. So this Saudas, in the story of Prishadra, as I mentioned, that Prishadra accepted the curse and then he took shelter of Lord Vasudeva and he perfected his life. Although he was destined to become a Shudra, but the Bhagavatam says that by taking shelter of the Lord, he transcended the curse and he went back to God. So he did not seek justice. So then now we go to the story of Saudas. So Saudas, he was actually hunting a Rakshasa and he killed a Rakshasa. And after killing a Rakshasa, he released the brother of the Rakshasa. But that brother of the Rakshasa, he wanted to take revenge against Saudas. So he became the cook in the Saudas house. One day, again this Saudas, the name of his guru is also Vasishta. Maybe the same personality, I guess. So once Vasishta came to actually honor Prasadam at the house of Saudas. So this Rakshasa's brother was the cook. And he cooked a human flesh and he fed Vasishta. Like Saudas was not even aware that like his cook has made a human, made of a human flesh. So Vasishta Rishi, by his mystic power, when the particular item was put on his plate, like Vasishta Rishi could understand this is a human flesh. Vasishta Rishi, again he became angry. And immediately he cursed the Saudas, "You have invited me for prasadam and you are offering me human flesh. I curse you to become a man eater." So again Vasishta Rishi acted impulsively. And Vasishta Rishi, after some time, he realized that, oh, actually it was not the mistake of Saudas, it is the mistake of the Rakshasa who is serving as a cook in his house. When he realized that mistake, he reduced the curse of Saudas to only 12 years. Okay, only for 12 years you will have the swabhava of a man eater. So meanwhile, Saudas, when he was cursed by Vasishta, immediately he became angry. Immediately he took water and he was about to counter curse Vasishta. He was about to counter curse Vasishta, but his wife Madayanti, he stopped Saudas. That please do not actually curse Vasishta because he is a Brahmana, he is a Guru. So Bhagavatam says that a good wife, he also acts as a good intelligence for the husband. A woman is called as Pramada. Pramada means enlivening as well as enlivening. A beautiful wife is certainly enlivening to her husband and at the same time the cause of degradation. That means a wife can be, by her chastity and by her observance of the religious principles, she can act as a good intelligence for the husband. Like we see in the scriptures many examples like Tara and Mandodari. They gave good advice to their husbands who are actually going in the path of adharma. And a wife can also be the cause of degradation when a man becomes attached to her. So here Madayanti, she gave good intelligence to her husband. She told Saudas, please do not actually curse Vasishta. And Saudas restrained himself. But because he had took the water, and the water had to be thrown somewhere, and then he actually put the water on his feet. He sprinkled the water on his feet, and because that water was saturated with a particular power, so his feet became blackened. So therefore he became known as Kalmashapada, one who had a black feet. So then Saudas, because of the curse of Vasishta, he actually took on the nature of a man eater. He took on the nature of the man eater, and he also got a black spot on his leg. So once Saudas, he saw a Brahmana couple about to unite with each other to beget a child. So at that time, Saudas, because like, he had the nature of a man-eater, he like captured that Brahmana and he was about to eat that Brahmana. So at that time, the wife of that Brahmana started advising Saudas. She started saying that, please understand, you are not a man-eater. You are one of the descendants of Ikshvaku Maharaj. And moreover, because you are the descendants of Ikshvaku Maharaj, you are supposed to act according to Dharma. Please do not act irreligiously. And I am desiring to have a son. Therefore, I am uniting with my husband. Please return my husband who has not yet impregnated me. And then she said that this human body is meant for all the benefits. It is meant for actually self-realization. And this, my husband is having a human body. And if you kill this body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of human life. And moreover, my husband is a Brahmana. And not only he is just a Brahmana by birth, he is qualified with the character and the austerity of a Brahmana. And this Brahmana is also desiring to worship the Supreme Lord, who is there as a super soul in every living entity's heart. And then she further said, O Saudas, you are supposed to be Dharmagya, you are supposed to be aware of the religious principles. Just like a son never deserves to be killed by the father, since you are supposed to be a Raja Rishi, how can you kill a Brahma Rishi, the sage among the Brahmanas? You are a Raja Rishi, sage among the kings, how can you actually kill a Brahma Rishi? So Brahma Hatya is considered to be a very great sin. Like Prithu Maharaj, he says to his citizens, Majatu teja prabhavanna maharadibis titikshaya tapasa vidyayacha dedipya mane jita devatanam kulekshayam rajakula dvijanam. He says that never exercise your power over the Brahmanas who are advanced in tapasya, Vedic knowledge, sense control. So never exercise your power over the Brahmanas. Another verse says that, like Prithu Maharaj had control over the entire Sapta Dvipa, but except the Brahmanas. He did not try to control the Brahmanas, but he had control over the entire Sapta Dvipa. So this wife of the Brahmana is saying that, how can you kill a Brahmana who is a Brahma Rishi, and you are supposed to be a Raja Rishi, saintly king? And then she said that that if you kill this Brahmana who is a saintly person, who is a learned in the Vedas, then it is like equivalent to killing a cow. Because he is about to actually unite with me to produce a son, it is like killing that son also. It is like killing that future son who is going to take birth. And it is like killing a cow who is about to give birth to a baby. So and then she said that without my husband, I cannot live even for a moment. If you want to eat my husband, first actually eat me. Because without my husband, I am as good as a dead man. So here, this wife of the Brahmana advised in so many words to Ikshvaku. To Saudas, who comes the dynasty of Ikshvaku Maharaj. But Saudas, although he heard all these words from this wife of the Brahmana, but that nature as a man-eater that completely covered that all the good intelligence given by this wife of the Brahmana. Previously, when he was about to curse Vasishtha Rishi, his wife stopped him, but he somehow restrained himself. But here, now the wife of the Brahmana, he actually advised him in so many ways, but still he could not actually restrain himself. and he disregarded the words of this Brahmani, and then he actually devoured that Brahmana. Exactly like a tiger eats its prey. So this is, Prabhupada says that this is an example of a destiny. The Saudas was cursed by Vasishtha Rishi, and therefore, even though he was well qualified, he could not restrain himself from acting like a man-eater. So for acting like a man-eater, he could not actually, he acted according to his destiny. Sometimes a destiny can put a person in a happy situation. Sometimes destiny can put a person in a like distressed situation. So destiny is extremely strong. But then Prabhupada mentions, but if a person can change the destiny, if a person takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam. Yastindra Gopa Matavendra Mahoswa Karma Bandanu Rupa Falabhajana Matanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. Right from the Indra Gopa to Indra, everyone is under the control of karma. But that karma can be destroyed. The seeds of karma can be destroyed, can be burnt. Like Nirdahati means the seeds of karma can be burnt in such a way that if you plant that seed again, nothing will grow from that seed. How can the seeds of karma be burnt in such a way that the seeds will not again sprout when a person takes shelter of the bhakti yoga to the Supreme Lord? To that Supreme Lord Govinda, I offer my obeisances. So here, we can see that if you see the comparison between Prishadra and Saudas, both of them were actually overcursed. They were given more punishment than that is required by their guru Vasishtha. But Prishadra, he did not try to seek justice, he did not try to counter curse his guru. Rather, although he was destined to become a Shudra, but he took shelter of the Lord and he transcended that curse. Whereas in the case of Saudas, he tried to actually counter curse his guru, and somehow his wife forbade him and then he stopped. But then he did not try to overcome that mentality of revenge, and he did not try to transcend that curse of his guru. Therefore, he got overpowered by that nature of a man-eater. Although he heard advice from that Brahmini lady that please do not kill my husband. So we see that Saudas actually, he tried to seek justice and he did not try to transcend that act of destiny. He got overpowered by that curse. And then ultimately, this wife of the Brahmani, she actually cursed this Saudas. She said that whenever you try to unite with your wife, you will immediately die. And then she actually committed sati and she burnt herself along with her husband. And later, of course, Saudas came out of that curse after 12 years. Like the story ends. So, anyway, we wanted to discuss this story from the point of view of seeking justice. What is the response of a person when a person is actually cursed by a guru? Saudas and Prishadra. Now, we'll take another example in the story of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, if you see the example of Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj is an example of a person who performed Atma Nivedanam. According to Rupa Goswami, Sakyam and Atma Nivedanam are the most difficult processes to execute. Being a friend of the Supreme Lord and offering one's body, mind and words to the Supreme Lord, they are most difficult among all the processes. So Bali Maharaj offered everything to the Lord, but still Vamanade bound Bali Maharaj with the Varuna Pasha, and he was bound like an animal in front of everyone. He was like punished. Like Bali Maharaj, he could have thought that I actually surrendered everything. I gave everything to Vamanadeva in the first two steps. And the third step I offered myself. But still in return, Vamanadeva is actually punishing me in an open assembly in front of everyone. Prabhupada says in a purport that we can't even imagine what sort of tribulations that Bali Maharaj had to go through. You can't even imagine what kind of difficulties he had to go through. But what was Bali Maharaj's response? But he says that, but the Lord will always test a person only according to the capacity of the person. So Bali Maharaj was an exalted person. He was tested like very severely. Even after he performed Atma Nivedanam, but he was actually punished and insulted in the open assembly. But what was the response of Bali Maharaj? He says, Pumsam shlagyatamam manye dandam arhattam arpitam yamna mata pita brata suhrudas chadishantihi. He says that, I consider the punishment given by the Supreme Lord to be greater than the so-called benefit done by the well-wishers like the father, mother or the relatives of this world. Although a father, mother or brother, they never punish their subordinate like this, but you are the most worshipable Lord. I regard the punishment you have given me as the most exalted. So Bali Maharaj, he did not seek justice. But generally, when a person is actually very righteous, when a person is a moralist, when he follows the moral principles, dharmic principles, and then when some injustice is done to him, one tries to seek justice, which is called as a sin of righteousness. Because of observing, being a moralist, why a person may think that, oh, I am superior to others. How can this thing happen to me, actually? How can this thing happen to me? So that time, in order to, a person starts seeking justice. So when we seek justice, we lose the shelter of Krishna. And when we seek justice, that means we have a shelter in our good behavior, not in Krishna. But Bali Maharaj, he did not actually seek shelter in his good behavior of Atma Nivedanam. Rather, he actually took shelter of the very Lord who is actually giving punishment to him. He is considering that punishment to be the mercy. Ultimately what happened? Vamanadev bound Bali Maharaj with the Varuna Rosh, with the Varuna Pasha. But Bali Maharaj bound Vamanadev with the ropes of Sharanagati. The Varuna Pasha was temporary, and after some time Vamanadev released Bali Maharaj from the Varuna Pasha. But Bali Maharaj bound Vamanadev eternally with the ropes of Sharanagati, that Vamanadev became the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj in Sutala Loka. So that is because Bali Maharaj did not seek justice. He considered the punishment of the Supreme Lord to be the mercy. So therefore, we see that when we talk about heaven or hell, when there is a concept of right and wrong in a relative sense, then we will either go to heaven or hell. But when we focus on the right and wrong in the absolute sense, then we become qualified to go to Vaikuntha. And that is what actually the verse spoken by Brahmaji is all about, that Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano Bunjanu eva atma kritam vipakam. Whatever I am going through, it is because of my karma. In fact, I deserve much more. And with that mood, when a person takes shelter of the Lord, he becomes actually qualified to go to Vaikuntha. So, having said that, like these are some examples of Bali Maharaj or Prishadra, Prithu Maharaj, how they did not seek justice. But also, scriptures, there are also instances in the Shastra where where good people, they sought justice. So then we actually, when we understand, then we get the holistic picture of this particular concept of seeking justice, when to seek justice and when to just focus on the absolute good and take it as a mercy of the Lord and go ahead in our life. Like for example, if you see the story of Shyamanta Gajwal. So, Satrajit, he got a jewel from the Surya Dev, and then that jewel was producing huge quantities of gold every day. And Krishna told Satrajit, better you give this jewel to Ugrasena. But Satrajit did not listen. And then one day, Satrajit's brother Prasena, he took that jewel and he went and hunting to the forest. And then Prasena did not return. And then Satrajit actually started telling that Krishna only killed Prasena, and then he has taken him, he has stolen the jewel, Shyamantaka jewel. And then he spread that rumor, and then all the people in Dwaraka, they started actually speaking that, oh, Krishna killed Prasena, and then Krishna was greedy for the Shyamantaka jewel, and he only stole the Shyamantaka jewel. So Krishna, what did he do? Krishna actually, he took all the residents of Dwaraka, like all the means, like many people from Dwaraka, he took along with him, and then he took them to the forest, and he started searching for Prasena, and Prasena was killed in a particular place, got killed by a lion or something, and then he saw that he went to the cave of Jambavan, and then there was a Jambavan's son was actually playing with the jewel, and then Krishna was actually fighting with Jambavan for 27 days. After fighting with Jambavan for 27 days, and Jambavan realized that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and then Jambavan gave the jewel as well as his daughter Jambavati to Krishna. And Krishna brought back the Shyamantaka jewel, and he proved to the Dwaraka Vasis that actually I did not kill Prasena, I did not steal Shyamantaka jewel. So here, Krishna tried to prove his position. He sought justice, he proved to the people that I am innocent. Because the reason is that when a person is in the position of a leadership, for him to serve the people under him, one of the important thing for his service is that he has to maintain his reputation. When the leader loses the reputation, then people will not, he cannot serve the people under him. So Krishna actually proved his reputation. And he had to work hard. He took all the people along with him, and he had to fight with Jambavan for 27 days. And then he proved that he was innocent. So therefore, when something is connected with our service, when something is connected not only with our service, when it is connected with the service towards others, so at that time, one needs to seek justice, one may need to prove his reputation. And that is what we learned in the story of Shyamantaka jewel. How Krishna actually dealt with it. And then we also see even the contemporary example of Srila Prabhupada, how he dealt with Mr. Nair in the Juhu temple episode. Like, Prabhupada had to, like you can read in the Leelamrita, Prabhupada actually had to literally fight with Mr. Nair, and although he was trying to cheat Prabhupada, but Prabhupada I had to fight actually, because it was connected with the service to the common people, because that person was trying to cheat the land. And Prabhupada actually, it's not about proving himself, it was not a fight based on ego. And Prabhupada had given a promise to the Radha Ras Bihari that you please stay here, I will actually build a temple for you. It was a promise he made to the deities and it was connected to the service to the common society. And then if we see the example of Bhagavad Gita itself, if we see this present verse of the Bhagavatam and the verse in the first chapter of the Gita where Arjuna says that Yadi mam apratikaram ashastram shastra panaya dartharashtra ranehanyus tanme kshemataram bhavet. Actually, Arjuna says that even if the sons of Dhritarashtra, even if they attack me, when I am unarmed, I will not do anything. Even if I am unarmed, even at that time when they actually attack me, I will not even exhibit a slightest protest towards them. So Arjuna, in one sense, he is in the exactly exhibiting the same consciousness which Krishna is instructing Uddhava in this verse. Krishna is telling to Uddhava that a person who is desiring the highest goal, even if he is insulted, beaten by other people, he should not protest. He should use his spiritual intelligence and remain fixed in his spiritual safe on the spiritual platform. But Arjuna is exhibiting a similar consciousness in the beginning of the Gita, but Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita so that the Arjuna and the Pandavas seek justice. Because if you have to understand the underlying mood between the Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita. The Bhagavad Gita, the underlying mood is that Krishna should fight the battle. You please engage the battle. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Remember me and fight the battle. But in Uddhava Gita, the underlying mood is that of detachment, because in fact at the end of the Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells Uddhava that you go to Badrikashram, you just accept the robes of a sannyasi, just eat the fruits and roots, and just drink the water in the river. And he actually tells him to become a sannyasi, but in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wants Arjuna to fight the battle. Krishna wants Arjuna to seek justice, because Arjuna seeking justice, it is not just connected to himself, it is connected to the greater society actually. So therefore, we have to understand that seeking justice also has a role. When it is connected with our service, when it is connected with the greater society, we have to seek justice in the right attitude, not in the mood of taking revenge. So taking revenge is actually easy. Like, there's an example of Amba who wanted to take revenge against Bhishma. But when a person wants to take revenge against the people who actually mistreated him, both the person who is abused and the person on whom the abused person tries to attack, both of them get affected. So taking revenge is easy. And another extreme is that sometimes people say that, oh, it is a hard work to seek justice, so let me not protest anything. And by that, they are only encouraging the wrong people to actually commit more mistakes and exploit the innocent people more. So that is also easy, because you don't have to put any effort. That's another extreme. But seeking justice is actually a hard work. It may take actually many years. And Krishna wanted the Pandavas to seek justice for the sake of the greater society, because Krishna wanted to establish Dharma. So, and then of course, on certain situations in our life, we have to go beyond seeking justice, we have to go beyond the stage of seeking justice, and we just have to focus on the what is good on the absolute platform. And simply have to take shelter of Krishna and transcend the situation. When nothing can be done on the material level. So that's what this verse is focusing upon. But seeking justice also has a role in the Shastra. Like for example, if we see the example of Kunti. Kunti's example, when we see in the Bhagavatam, we see the heart of Kunti in the prayers offered by Kunti in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that the difficulties experienced by Kunti were greater than the difficulties experienced by Krishna's mother Devaki. Because Kunti experienced so many difficulties throughout her life. And she offers the prayer that Vipada Santuta Shashwat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyat Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Most of the people come to God in order to get relief from their distress, but Kunti is offering a prayer that let me get more and more difficulties, because when I get more and more difficulties, that gives an impetus for me to remember you. And on remembering you, and there is no rebirth. Apunar Bhava Darshanam. When you remember you, and because remembrance of Krishna is the essence of all the rules and regulations. So we see the Kunti's heart in the Bhagavatam, how she actually completely took shelter of Krishna. She is asking for more and more difficulties. But we also see another side of Kunti, and when Krishna came as a Shantidut to Hastinapur, Kunti tells to Krishna that when you go and meet Yudhishthir Maharaj, please give this advice to Yudhishthir. Tell Yudhishthir to fight with courage. Yudhishthir has a tendency to seek peace, and he has a tendency to not act like a Kshatriya. But instruct him that he must fight and he must actually get back the kingdom. And then Kunti tells a story of story of Vidula. There was a Chaktrani called as Vidula, and she was a widow, and her husband was killed in a battle, and her son actually gets defeated in the battle, and then her son returns home. And while returning, Vidula's son was thinking that, oh, my mother will shower a lot of affection upon me because I have come back alive from the battle. But Vidula tells her son, what are you doing? It doesn't befit you. You should have got killed in the battle. You should not have come back. Actually, you should not have actually fled the battle. You should stand up again. If a piece of wood produces a fire for a few moments, then that is better. You should be prepared to die a martyr's death. And a brave person dies only once, but cowards die at every moment. Seeing you in such a fearful condition, I think that you have not taken birth from my womb. She speaks such a harsh words that, such a strong words that you should actually go back and fight the battle. And the son says that, why are you speaking so hard-hearted? You are sending me to the battlefield. What will happen if I die? What happiness will you get if I die? Neither will you be able to put on your jewelry, nor you will be able to enjoy any happiness. You should actually think of my well-being. And then Vidula says that Vidula again tells that you should definitely go to the battlefield. Even if you are killed in the battle, it will be befitting to our family tradition. So Kunti is narrating this story to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Kunti is narrating this story to Krishna, to tell Krishna, you narrate this story to Yudhishthir Maharaj and tell Yudhishthir Maharaj to fight the battle and seek justice and to get back the kingdom, because it is duty to rule the kingdom. By that he will actually repay the debt towards his forefathers. So we see that this aspect of Kunti instructing Yudhishthir to seek justice, that is also seen in the Mahabharata. So therefore, seeking justice also has a role, and at a certain point, we also have to go beyond seeking justice, and we only have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. That also has a role. And like that, there are many examples. For example, Parikshit Maharaj, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he was cursed by Sringi, Parikshit Maharaj, he just took shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tiraskrita Vipralabda Shapta Kshipta Hatavapi nasyatat prati kurvanti tadbhakta prabhavopihi. Even when a devotee is insulted, he is beaten, when he is defamed, cheated, but even though he may have a power to counter curse, but a devotee tolerates the difficulty and he simply takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. That is what Parikshit Maharaj did. But we also find in the Mahabharata, Parikshit Maharaj putting effort. He built a actually palace to actually protect himself from the Takshaka. Because one of the aspects of Dharma is to put your effort to prolong one's life for as much as possible. Just like when you are sick, you put your effort to cure yourself of the disease, and also you are supposed to take shelter of the Lord in your heart. In that way, Parikshit Maharaj, Mahabharata describes that aspect of Parikshit Maharaj where he tried to put effort to actually protect his physical body by building a palace from the Takshaka. And Bhagavatam describes the heart of Parikshit Maharaj where he took shelter of Krishna Katha and how he did not seek justice. So therefore, that this aspect of seeking justice is there. Of course, there are other examples from the Ramayana, this thing are there. But I will conclude here that what we discussed today was that how the scriptures sometimes instruct us to focus on the relative right and relative wrong, and sometimes we have to transcend the relative right and relative wrong. I mean, we have to actually take we have to consider what is right and wrong in the absolute sense, and we have to completely take shelter of the Lord and forget the relative right and wrong. We discussed several examples. We saw the story of Prishadra and Saudas. Both were over punished by their guru, but Saudas actually he tried to counter curse his guru, and he did not try to transcend that curse. He actually he got overpowered by that curse, and he had to become a man eater. But whereas Prishadra, he accepted the curse with the folded hands, and ultimately, by taking shelter of that, he transcended that curse. And we discussed the example of Prithu Maharaj and Indra. Prithu Maharaj, he did not focus on the relative right and relative wrong. He focused on the absolute right. He did not seek justice. Why are you chastising me instead of Indra? And then we discussed the example how there are instances where a person is supposed to seek justice when it is connected with the service towards others. Like Krishna tried to prove his reputation in the Shyamantaka jewel pastime. And Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and he impelled Arjuna to fight the battle. Arjuna in one sense exhibited the same consciousness which Krishna is speaking in this verse in the beginning of the Gita. But Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight the battle. And then we saw the example of Kunti Maharani. Kunti Maharani's heart of Kunti Maharani, the Srimad Bhagavatam. The same Kunti is instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj to fight the battle and to seek justice. And we saw the example of Parikshit Maharaj in the Mahabharata and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So with this I will conclude the class. I think it is beyond time. I will not take any questions. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.